You know, at the end of the day, the choice to be an entrepreneur was very easy for me. It was the path that I wanted. It's the path that I felt fit best for me personally, because I know I'm a hard worker. I know I want to learn new things. I know that I want to be really successful, and I truly believe that I can be. And I don't know what that's eventually going to be someday, but I feel like a lot of the other positions that I would have, you know, gone to probably would have held me back. I probably would have had ceilings to it. I don't want a ceiling. I want complete and utter, you know, kind of choose your own destiny, you know, lifestyle, in the sense that I don't want ceilings. I don't want boundaries.
Welcome to the Edge of Excellence podcast. This show is for current and aspiring leaders that are dedicated to showing up every day in their lives with excellence. We break down the careers of those excelling so you can understand what is out there and how to rise up in every field you choose. Let's get the show on the road, shall we? Your host has spent his life promoting global entrepreneurship, helping 20-somethings find their passion, and working to help others achieve excellence. CEO of CollegeWorks, Matt Stewart.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. We've got a great one for you today. We've got Brett Appel, CollegeWorks Painting VP in Ohio. He's going to get deep into shifting your mindset actively, identifying the cause of good and bad feelings to figure out how to control your mindset. He's going to talk about earning the right to have fun and the right to seize opportunities. And additionally, we're going to get into using consistent character, values, and drive throughout your whole life, even though the challenges change greatly. Welcome to the show, and welcome to the Edge of Excellence.
Well, Brett, thank you so much for making time from your busy, cold day during the polar vortex in Ohio. Welcome to the Edge of Excellence.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Before we go way back and dig into the evolution from Kansas college student to executive, setting records and living your values and showing selfless regard, Brett, I got to ask you, what is your definition of excellence?
Yeah. So I think everybody's definition might be a little bit different, but I know personally, I would define excellence as the constant pursuit of really challenging yourself, trying to be the best version of yourself. I feel like sometimes people think, you know, success or excellence is to get to one point, but really it's honestly kind of a lifestyle. Like once you're successful at one thing, there's so many different aspects within your life, within business, within your family, whatever it is that you can be successful at. So I would probably say just the constant drive to be the best version of yourself that you can be.
Yeah, you got Messi, who's the greatest soccer player, so excellent, and then moves into the business world, Taylor Swift, all these people that reach these pinnacles, and they go for the next, and they go for the next, and they go for the next. Challenging yourself to be the best version of yourself. So you can't be excellent if you're just trying to be pretty good. You got to be challenging yourself to be the best you can be. And then once you're there, people that are excellent at one thing usually are excellent at many things. Well, that's fantastic. We're going to go way back to the start and figure out what helped you to create so many options for yourself when you graduated from college, to choose your own adventure after school. What was life like in high school? What were you doing? Were you on that path way back then? Or were you on a different path like some of my guests?
I think it was a little bit of both. So in high school, played sports. My sport was basketball. And if I'm being honest, I really wasn't the greatest at it, but I did put a lot of time and effort into it. Built some really fun relationships with a lot of people that I played basketball with. But, you know, I always had that hardworking person instilled within me, but I was kind of lost a little bit throughout high school and even a little bit in the early parts of college. Of I didn't know exactly what I wanted to devote all my time and effort towards. I'm a tall and athletic guy, but I'm nowhere near as tall and athletic enough to be anything in basketball, right? And that was really a lot of my life in high school. So, you know, I got good grades. I, you know, made the team. You know, I played 4 years at my high school, but it never really felt fulfilling. I always knew kind of deep down I was meant for something. I don't want to say better, but maybe just bigger. So I just was really honestly just struggling to find what that thing was, what I was going to devote a lot of my time and efforts to. And I still, even to this day, don't really know what I want to do long term, but I feel like I'm on the right path of, you know, eventually figuring that out.
I always tell people that if you know what you want to do, you're probably wrong. And if you're listening right now, there's all this pressure. And that's kind of why we do the show, to expose people to different careers, different career paths. There's all this pressure to figure out what are you going to do? And your parents are asking, and your friends' parents are asking, and then your friends are asking, and you get a career and you're not loving it, and your friends are asking again. You don't have to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You have to figure out what you're going to do first or what you're going to do second. And as my brother said, stick to it long enough to know if you love it and if you're good at it. So what you're saying is, when you were in high school, you had the same character, the same values, the same drive. You just didn't have the same focus. You didn't, and not focus on things, focus on what you're doing. You hadn't had the opportunity yet. So you were developing this character, and you had these values, and you had this drive, and you were applying it to basketball, and you're applying it to school, but you knew that there was something else for you to apply it to. And I think a lot of people can sympathize with that. That's what I call the pre-life crisis. Where do I put this energy? Where do I put this focus? And I remember as a college senior, tossing and turning and waking up in the middle of the night. And I heard so many people tell me they had that same experience, because you're going. And you're just really frustrated on where to go. And for you, it just kind of opens up, right? So you're playing basketball. You're not the tallest. You're pretty tall.
Pretty tall.
But you may not go to the pros. You're probably tall enough to go to the pros. I mean, Stockton's short.
Yeah. I mean, but like,
don't
if
make
6'4".
Excuses, Brett. You should have been a pro basketball player. So you're trying out different things. You're good at different things. You haven't found that thing yet that you can be excellent at. So you got pretty good grades. You went off you went to KU, right?
Yep, University of Kansas.
Go Hoosiers.
Jayhawks.
I know. I don't know what the hell they are. I just wanted to say that because you know that I know that you know. I know nothing about any of the sports.
Yep.
And you know that Kansas State has the best corn dogs on the planet. Shout out to Varsity Donuts. They're so good. So you're moving in that direction. You go to Kansas to go to school. And then what happened there? How did you figure out where to put your character, your values, and your drive? And I don't think you did the College Works thing right away. You were doing other things first, right?
So actually, my freshman year of college, that was COVID. So I had one true semester of like normal college life. And it was fun, but eventually, like, you know, doing the same thing, going out and, you know, drinking with all your buds. And, you know, I actually got like the best grades ever during that semester because I didn't have all these other things to devote my time to. But yeah, still, like, you know, you're talking about that early life crisis of like, what do I want to do? Like, that was a very restless time.
You're having that as a freshman in college? You're having the pre-life crisis?
Yeah, I had it like before I went to college as a freshman.
Okay, for those of you listening, Brett sometimes, and nowhere near Lisa Mirage, I just had a numerous texts and a long phone call with Lisa Mirage, who's so nervous about recording the podcast today and way overthinking it. But you were, as a young person, overthinking it a little bit, freaking out a little bit. So how did you calm yourself down, or did you just find a path and that calmed you down?
Well, the path I found was not really what I expected. So during COVID, obviously, like, that was the spring semester. Nobody was hiring. I was trapped inside my house, and I needed to get out. I needed to get outside. So when I saw a painter ad on Instagram from somebody that I knew, you know, very briefly back from church, you know, I applied for it, and I ended up painting for this kid. And the kid I painted for, his name was Ivan Kaminsky. And I painted for him for the whole summer. And, you know, I got to work with my friends. And it was honestly a really fun environment, you know, had fun painting with him. But what I didn't know was that was going to be what eventually I was going to do for the next couple of years. Because I ended up painting for College Works Painting. And I ended up getting recruited as a branch manager that fall to be, you know, what Ivan did the previous summer before. So,
okay, so back it up.
Yeah.
You're having a pre-life crisis. You're trying to figure out what to do with your character, your values, and your drive. You're hardworking. You're tossing and turning, not knowing what to do. It's COVID. So you had your first semester of regular school, and then COVID hits, and we don't have regular anymore. And so you go start painting houses. And those people that don't know what College Works is, we teach university students to run businesses, and they run these painting businesses, but they run it. They're not doing the painting. They hire the painters. They do the sales. They do some of the marketing. They hire some marketers. They're working with the customers. They're working with the profit. You're one of the few. And usually they're very successful, by the way. If they've been a painter for us, they were a college student that was a painter, then they get promoted to intern. They're usually very successful. You're one of those few. But why? How does that help you figure out your life? You were never going to do that for a living. How did that help
you? It's weird because it's like painting, like me being a painter that summer, like wasn't like the thing that was like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity for me. Like I finally figured out what I want to do in life. Like, no, like it was just a job. But what I didn't know was like that job was going to turn into the thing that ultimately kind of gave me a little bit more purpose, gave me something to drive for, gave me something to, you know, push myself to achieve, which was the internship itself. So
it wasn't that you found your path. It's that you found something to do and there were some cool people you were working with. And, you know, it seems like it's going to be a grind, but it's kind of cool. You know, it's done and you can see it done. There's a sense of accomplishment that you don't get from talking on the phone and doing your executive job. But it was more about you started to see a path because of that.
Yeah, I feel like everything happens for a reason. And like, you know, it's an interesting path of like starting off as a painter and then it turns into managing millions of dollars of business, you know, as a college student. But that was the beginning. That was my path. So I had no idea that's what it was going to be when I got the job. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. And I think that was meant to happen. So
I've heard you say that before. Is everything that happens for a reason and thinking about that, do you think that opens you up to pass? Do you think if that wasn't kind of your mantra, you wouldn't have noticed that there was other opportunities at that company? Maybe you wouldn't have noticed there was other opportunities in the area that you were in. What's the town called that KU's in?
Lawrence, Kansas.
Lawrence. So I was going to say Lansing, but that's where Michigan State is. Do you think that attitude of everything happens for a reason is part of the reason that you keep noticing the past and other people maybe shut off to some of the past?
I think so. I think keep an open mind of different options because it's like at the end of the day, like I was 18 years old. Like, what do I know? Like, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, see what's out there for you. But I also think that you have to be, you know, doing stuff in the moment to, I guess, allow yourself to have those pathways open up for you. So like if I wasn't a hardworking, you know, laborer for, you know, that summer, I wouldn't have even got the option to be a branch manager, right? So you have to be, you know, grinding towards something, working towards something, push yourself out of those comfort zones. And I think opportunities show themselves to the people that earn the right to see it, right? So I think it takes effort to be able to even have those opportunities come your way.
Earn the right to see your opportunities. I like that. So Jeff Gunness says, success is luck. You're lucky enough to be prepared when opportunity knocks. So if you want to be, you know, a great business person, you have to have some experience along the way. So you're ready for that opportunity to be a great business person. If you want to start a company, and my son said this to me the other day, I said, hey, what are you going to do when you graduate? And he said, I think I'm going to start a company. I'm like, no, that's not the way it works, Jake. He said, what are you talking about? That's what you did. And I always catch myself. Yep, that is what I did. But, and he's had six jobs, so I probably had about six jobs. I worked for a company that fell apart and needed somebody to take over, and I was the best in that company at the time. That's a little bit different. And although I don't know how things work anymore because everything gets figured out differently in my way is my way and his way is his way. So we'll see what happens. But I see him grinding through this, and maybe he's right. Maybe you don't need to go work before you start a company. But I like the idea of earning the right to see the opportunities, whatever you're doing. And I think there's something to that. There's two things about you that I wanted to talk about. Everything happens for a reason, kind of that mantra. And I think that does open your mind. And if people don't think everything happens for a reason, and they're not eyes open or negative, they're looking for a problem. And I was talking to Emmy, who lived here for a while at my house, about how positive she is. And she's went through some shit in her life. And she's like, I just decided to be positive. And you see things differently if you're positive, and you're a very positive person. You see things differently if everything's happening for a reason. And you see things differently if you're maintaining relationships. So I know Ivan. You had a great relationship with Ivan. You were a cool guy. You were an easy employee, let's say. Things open up if you're good at building relationships. What were you doing in high school and college to foster relationships? What's your keys to that?
I think just quality time with people. I feel like whenever the people I spend the most time with are the people I develop the best relationships with. So, you know, just taking, you know, every opportunity to get to know people as best you can, you know, develop deep, you know, intimate relationships with, you know, friends, coworkers, family, whatever it is. I think it literally just comes down to really honestly effort and time. Because at least for me, which, you know, I don't know if everybody, you know, is like that. I know personally, it's just if I spend a lot of time with someone, I'm going to build a really cool relationship with them. And they end up being, you know, lifelong friends or, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, I cannot see, you know, a lot of my college roommates, you know, back home that all live in Kansas City now for 5 years. But I guarantee if I saw them, it's just we pick up right where we left off, you know, just because of, you know, all the time and, you know, just honestly fun times we've had in the past. So.
What do you do with your to foster your communication skills besides the work you do, which is talking a lot, right? You're doing interviews, you're doing meetings, you're doing trainings, you're doing coaching. I mean, you're constantly communicating. But you know, I noticed that you're a honest communicator. You have fierce real conversations. Fierce Conversations is a book by Susan Scott that I recommend, and it's about having real conversations. You're not offensive. You're not harsh. Like, go back to that job. You know, how do you end up running the company from the very bottom rung of the ladder? You know, you're all that great employee. You do communicate clearly. People notice you. What are you doing to foster that part of your relationship building, the solid, real communication, not surface level, deep scuba diving?
As much as I would say there's one thing that I pinpoint, I think it's just kind of always who I've been. I have never really been a small talk person. Like if I'm talking to someone, like I want to, I guess maybe selfishly get something out of the conversation, whether that's, you know, hearing about other people's experiences or letting them talk about things they like to talk about, or really maybe honestly just curiosity as well. You know, there's a time in my life where like, you know, if people had certain views, I would maybe just kind of be closed-minded and be, you know, jealous or, you know, maybe judgmental towards those people. But I think kind of eventually along the way, I kind of realized like, you know, everybody has different upbringings. Everybody has different beliefs and views on things based off of experiences they've had in the past. So personally, like, I'm just curious, like, don't be judgmental, be curious, you know, with people. You know, Ivan is a very different person than me. And, you know, he's also very different than a lot of the roommates that I grew up with and different from the people I played basketball with and the people that I work with here today. But at the end of the day, like, everybody has their own set of experiences that kind of form who they are today. And there's something to be learned about that. And kind of, I don't know, I just like being curious and asking questions and kind of, you know, just learning new things from other people, not just having, you know, kind of meaningless conversations.
Yeah, I think that comes across. I'm just thinking if you're listening in the car right now on 1.5 speed, everything happens for a reason. You got to be open to different options. That's a mindset. Don't be judgmental, be curious. That's a mindset. You know, this drive and this hard work, that's kind of a mindset. So you've got what's it called? It's a good demeanor, I guess. So you're saying it came naturally. So if it didn't come naturally to somebody, how do you stop being judgmental? How do you stop falling into negativity? Or how do you be curious? How do you be positive? What do you do to What do you do if you don't get it naturally?
Well, I think, it's funny they say like, you know, how are you naturally positive? I actually really wasn't. In high school and even the early parts of college, like I was a very pessimistic person. A lot of self-deprecation. I didn't really believe in myself. Like, you know, I was really, really hard on myself. And I think it's good to be hard on yourself, but there is a line that you can cross where it starts being detrimental to, you know, you and your mental health and, you know, how you talk to yourself. So, oddly enough, like, you know, my intern year when I, you know, ran my business in Lawrence, Kansas, that's kind of where a lot of the new mindset shift happened. I kind of learned not only because there's a lot of problems within business that happen. I think really good business people are people that just know can not only seek out problems, but actively try to fix them. You know, when I was running my business, you know, that year, like, I felt like I really kind of developed a mindset shift. Whenever I saw problems, it wasn't, Brett, you're a stupid idiot. No one loves you. You know, I kind of say that a little bit sarcastically, but, you know, it started more going towards, okay, well, there's an issue here. How do we solve it? Right. And, you know, I started seeing things that I would have in the past, you know, been maybe, you know, mad at myself for, or maybe mad at other people for, and really started being more curious in the sense that, okay, well, this happened for a reason. You know, maybe I start to analyze why, you know, why this bad thing happened and maybe some solutions with it, right? So, you know, if I'm having, you know, a bad conversation with someone, instead of walking away being like, man, that person was an asshole. No, I'll sit there and be like, huh, what could I have said that maybe would have intrigued that person more? Or what could I, or, you know, because at the end of the day, there's always something with everybody. Everybody has something they love to talk about. They love to, they know a lot about whatever it is. So, you know, it's just kind of finding that a little bit, being curious, you know, not being so hard on yourself, but also like, you know, learning from failures, you know, failures of, you know, talking with different people and not having good conversations or not learning from bad relationships in the past, you know, what could I have done better, instead of just marking that stuff off as, oh, that person's, you know, this, that, the other, right? So maybe just being a little bit more open to, you know, kind of catching yourself when you have that bad mindset and actively, you know, trying to not, you know, maybe act on the initial thought.
Yeah, I'm going to just say a big boo on that answer. Boo, 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 because that's the same answer that always happens. It's on you. And so things happen for a reason. You said that again, but it's this ownership. What can I do differently? And I give it a big boo. And what's the lesson from failure? I give it a big boo. And I was telling somebody yesterday, you know, every time I've been to the psychiatrist, the marital counselor, or one of my buddies make me go on these meditation retreats because I'm back to being a dick again. And then I'm like, she's driving me crazy. She's driving me crazy. And then I go on the meditation retreat and it's always, okay, what are you going to do about that? I'm not going to do anything. Get her to stop driving me crazy. Get her to pick up her piles. Get her to clean her messes. Get her to not drive my car. And they're like, okay, that's the person you're with. So you know she's not a neat freak like you. You know she doesn't park your car the way you want it parked. So what are you going to do to control yourself? And I just went through this. So it was such a difficult thing. I'm speaking of marriage. It works easy for me at work, but not in marriage. And once you realize the real theme is, what can I do? And the real theme is curiosity, not judgmental, then everything gets better. So you're going through life thinking things happen for a reason, taking ownership. If something goes wrong, what could I have done differently? It's never their fault. And it's your reaction. I'm upset. Well, why are you upset? They didn't make you upset. You chose to be upset. They didn't make you jealous. They didn't make you angry. They didn't make you sad. You chose that reaction and you can choose curious. So you're constantly going through life and when things don't work out, stopping and thinking, okay, what's the lesson? And then you move on. You're constantly going through life and negative thought pops up and you're like, I'm not going to accept that negative thought. Boom. And move on. And you've just trained yourself to find the positive. And let's give some steps if you're listening right now. 7,000 negative thoughts go through your head every day. If you just let them flow like a river, you're going to become negative. You have to stop and grab a couple of them. And I'm holding my hand up. Grab them in your hand and look at them and refute them. So, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. Well, I'm not an idiot. I'm actually pretty smart. I just made a little mistake. I'm still a good person. Then throw it on. And so you learn to kind of ignore the negativity by refuting the negativity and you become more positive. When things go wrong, oh, poor me, poor me. Whoop, nope. What's the lesson? So you have to refute the negative thoughts. You have to look for the lesson in things that go wrong. And then most importantly, you have to take ownership, not blame. That was a horrible conversation. That was a horrible day. I really did poorly in whatever that meeting was. Okay, what could I have done differently? Well, that person was horrible. No, what could you have done to make them not horrible? I mean, there's people that work, that psychiatrists that work with murderers and get them to turn around if that's possible. I mean, if they can do it, what can you do? So you have this purposeful way about yourself through life. You're purposely opening doors. You're purposely looking for opportunities. You're purposely looking for the good in people. You're purposely looking for the good in bad situations. And so while you're in college, you're kind of seeing opportunities, this dumb little painting job that became a pretty cool internship. I think the coolest internship that you could do that became an executive position while you're in college. And shout out to Brett for setting the record as the highest producing district manager in company history. And then, you know, you keep crush it. Everybody, and part of it is, do people want to keep working with you? Yes, they do. And then next thing you know, you're expanding to Ohio and you're an entrepreneur. You have equity, You're building a business, you're fully funded at a really young age.
Are you enjoying the show thus far? We go through so many resources and links with this podcast, it's tough to keep up. I get it. That's why Matt and the rest of the team put together the Edge of Excellence Bundle. In it, you'll find different tools that relate to overarching themes and topics of the show. Things like DISC assessment tools, time management strategies and tactics, stress and anxiety management tools, exclusive videos and episodes from this podcast that is not released anywhere else, and so much more. The best part? As a valued listener of the show, you can access the Edge of Excellence Bundle 100% for free of charge. That's right, for simply being awesome and tuning in. To get access, all you have to do is go to www.collegeworks.com/podcast and fill out the short form there for us to get the bundle over to you. Once again, it's www.collegeworks.com/podcast. Now, back to the show.
So let's talk just for a second now as a business executive. And we know you work at the business that pays for the show. Thank you for paying for the show. I love doing this show. Thank you, CollegeWorks, for paying for this show. I get 5 podcasts a day with some of my favorite people. What do you do as a business executive? What's a day-to-day? It's kind of like a generalist job. You got to dive into finance. You got to dive into accounting. You got to dive into systems. You got to dive into all, because the buck stops with you. What's a year in the life of a young executive out of school in an entrepreneurial role? First of all, is it easy?
No, it's not easy. But anything that's easy is not worth doing in my mind. I think you learn a lot from challenges and challenging yourself. And if I'm really stressed out and really, you know, just overwhelmed, it's like, okay, like that's a good thing. How do we, that means I'm learning, right? But I guess, you know, in a year in a life, the best part about my job is I get to deal with so many different aspects about business that I feel like not many people my age get the opportunity to. So in the fall, I get to be a recruiter. So I get to basically take, you know, people that know nothing about this internship. I get to teach them, you know, all about it and, you know, get the right people interested for the job. Right. So there's a lot of EQ. There's a lot of, you know, talking to people from all different backgrounds, you know, recruiting a lot of people there. And in the spring, then I get to kind of become a sales manager. So I'm teaching people from that I've literally never sold a job before how to sell $5, $10, $15, $20,000 projects. There's a huge learning curve and process and a lot of in the field training and, you know, basically kind of like taking people that, yeah, like don't know anything about any of this. And by the end of the summer, like they can go out and sell and book work and are really proficient in sales, right? So I'm a sales manager in the spring. And then during the summer, I get to kind of be a business consultant. You know, I have all my people, they have their branches of the company in a bunch of different areas across the state. They're managing their crews, they're managing their clients, they're managing their, you know, schedules and profit. And I get to basically come in and teach these people not only how to do it, but also kind of be their crutch of knowledge and help. So I get to analyze each and every one of their businesses every day, every couple of days, and give them advice, give them motivation, give them tips and tricks as to how they get to do all that stuff better. So it is a lot, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'm pretty grateful to be able to have a position like that where I get to learn all these different aspects about business. And each and every year, you know, I feel I've done pretty well in the past, but each every year I just get better and better and better, you know, on a big scale thing, right? You know, with the interns, we think, you know, I'm going to take this person in 4 weeks or 5 weeks, I'm going to turn them into someone who knows how to sell. I mean, it's very short term, right? There's a lot of little incremental stuff that's going to help them get there. And they do get better and better and better each week. Each and every year, I'm getting better at recruiting. I'm getting better at talking to people. I'm getting better with empathizing with my employees and being a better boss and being a better executive. And, you know, there's just all these opportunities to learn and grow for. And I'm just, I get the opportunity to really try to make the most of that, which I feel like a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, my age don't, one, really want to do because it is a lot. But two, get the opportunity to, you know, exercise those muscles.
What's that? It's what you said. It's the constant pursuit to challenge yourself to be the best version of yourself at many things. So you got to do the recruiting, you got to do the sales managing, you got to do the business consulting. You didn't mention strategic planning, finance, accounting, budgeting, systems building. You know, once something works well, it's got to be duplicated and systemized. And so you're not working on just being an excellent manager. You're not working on just being an excellent strategic planner. You're not working on just being an excellent salesperson or boss or consultant. You're working on all of it because that's what an entrepreneur does. And in your case, you had a bit of practice. You know, you did it in Kansas and you had practice with the recruiting. You had practice with the sales. You had practice with the management. You had practice with the coaching before you went off and did it. And that's what I was telling my son. Typically, if you're going to start a business, you go work in a business and then you take off and start one. Or maybe you take some people with you that you were working with. Maybe those people fund you to go into business, which happens. And that could happen if you're an investment banker. They could fund you to go to school and then come back if they really like you. So you're always challenging you're always pushing yourself and challenging yourself to be great in a few things. You've got that character, values, drive, that attitude, earning opportunities, everything happening for a reason. And it all comes together and builds who you are, right? So you can't be really successful if you're disorganized. You can't, because you're just going to forget things and not show up and you just hit a ceiling. You can't be really successful if you grind people and they don't like you. Eventually, they're not going to want to work with you. They're not going to want to be your customer. There's this well-roundedness that you have to your personality. And then to your point on excellence, a well-roundedness to, your drive to try and achieve different things. Like, I'm never going to be an accountant, but I better understand sheets. And when we got our budgets this year, there was a bunch of stuff that was wrong. I had to find it. So thank God I can do that and I can wear these different hats. So as an entrepreneur, you're wearing a bunch of different hats. And you said it's not easy. So you work way more hours than probably most of your friends. You get paid based on profit. So a lot of times entrepreneurs don't make money for a couple of years. You do, but you're still taking that risk. What else is as you're looking at being an entrepreneur and you're a first year entrepreneur, what were you thinking? How did you make your decision? What looked good and what didn't look good?
Well, I guess you mean in the sense of, the options and maybe why I chose this over other options?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. At the end of the day, because all of this really honestly stems from, I watched my dad work really, really hard. He was a tax accountant. He did really well in his career. He was high up. He was like director and VP at different places and all that stuff. And he was a really hard worker, right? And, personally, when I was before, I did college works, a lot of the jobs I had was hourly pay and I'd be the best employee and I would get punished for it, right? Because they would always give the best employee more, things to do. And
yeah. I tell people that. It just suck. If you're listening right now, just suck. Because if you're good, you get more and more and more. That's just easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you're not going to get paid very much. You're not going to achieve all your dreams. But yeah, the better you do, the more you get.
Yeah. But, honestly, a lot of times, when my dad would, take a step up, get a promotion, that he never really had control over it. Because, I think it was three different times he got promoted to this awesome position at, whether it was Sprint or a place called Embark, which is now CenturyLink, and I can't remember what the other one was. And then that whole division would get bought out and they'd fire the whole, division. And he would take a step back down. It's like, if I'm going to have the opportunity or, if I'm already going to be working really hard, I personally don't really want to go the corporate route because I want to be in control of, if I suck, it's because of something that I'm doing, right? Not because of something that, someone else in the division or someone else in a different part of the company is just going to be like, hey, we're just going to get rid of that division. And I have no say over it, right? There's no it's kind of maybe an illusion of job security in some of those positions. So, I had some opportunities to go, be a business consultant or maybe go work with, some people that I've done in the past. But at the end of the day, I think what I learned, through my years of college is, I want to work for myself, not just to be my own boss, but because I want to be in control of my destiny. And I think that if I, can manage myself and I put myself in positions like that, I personally grow and learn, and there's still a lot more stuff that I need to grow and learn from. I'm still young. I mean, I'm a 23-year-old, entrepreneur. So it'd be very naive of me to say that I know everything. But, at the end of the day, the choice to be an entrepreneur was very easy for me. It was the path that I wanted. It's the path that I felt fit best for me personally, because I know I'm a hard worker. I know I want to learn new things. I know that I want to be really successful, and I truly believe that I can be. And I don't know what that's eventually going to be someday, but I feel like a lot of the other positions that I would have, you know, gone to probably would have held me back. I probably would have had ceilings to it. I don't want a ceiling. I want complete and utter, you know, kind of choose your own destiny, you know, lifestyle, in the sense that I don't want ceilings. I don't want boundaries. I want to be in control. So there's also a lot of risk that come to that, you know, in the sense that, you know, if you do fail, it is all my fault, which I'm more than willing to take those risks, which not everybody is. And that's okay if that's you, but personally, that's me.
Yeah, you want to gamble on yourself. That's interesting. So my brother, you know, he's a big time corporate guy, and he always rises way up there. And he was working for, you know, he's one level down from the president. And you know, oftentimes there's different presidents at Microsoft. There was five at Salesforce. There was two or three. And his president, oh, right now he works for, he sent me a clip on it yesterday. It's the most successful VC-backed company in tech history. Like, I didn't know that. And the president that he works for just got fired. And he's like, well, I guess I got to go. And it's not, he doesn't want to go. He loves that place. But it's happened before that all of a sudden he's got to go because they take out the whole team when they take out the president, whether you're great or not. And you and I don't want to live that life. You and I want to gamble on ourselves. And, you know, some people would like you say, that's not their thing. Because when you break it down the way you break it down, it sounds a little scary. But for me, it's less scary. For you, it's less scary. It's still scary. We still get scared sometimes. When the buck stops with us, we make mistakes. We have to own our mistakes. You know, I've had the money go the wrong way 3 times in my life, which, you know, really messed up my marriage. Didn't affect my kids, thank God. They never even knew, I don't think. But my wife and I were, you know, stress comes home from work. But that's the life we love, right? That's what we want because we want to gamble on ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just as simple as that. I'd rather bet on myself than have my fate be controlled by someone that I don't even know. So that's personally me.
So are you surprised at where you are now? If you look back to that basketball playing, non-John Stockton excuse maker for not being the next Michael Jordan, are you surprised at where you are now, running a business, making quite a bit of money over the last few years? You made more in college than most people make in the decade after college. Are you surprised where you are now?
Yes and no. I knew that if I could find the right place to develop my skills and place my ambition, I knew that I'd be somewhere good. I didn't think I was going to be, honestly, a business owner at 23. I had zero clue. Even before college, like, I had never thought of like entrepreneurship as an option. Like, that was something new that I kind of learned throughout college of like, you know, a lot of people say they want to be a business owner, but they just like the idea of being their own boss and they're afraid of the work and the stress and the stuff that comes with that. Like, throughout college, I kind of realized like, oh, like, not only do I want to do this, but I can handle all the extra baggage that it comes with. So yeah, I guess in that sense, I am pretty surprised. I did not think entrepreneurship was ever going to be an option for me. And honestly, it's a pleasant surprise. I like I said, I think that's personally the root.
I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was an entrepreneur until I said it to you today. I wonder how many times people have said that to you. I didn't know I was an entrepreneur until like 5 years after I'd been an entrepreneur. Just strange. And then my parents hadn't been. And my dad's like, you can't mortgage your house. You can't do that. I'm like, oh, that's what we're going to do here. You can't put them at risk. Well, I'm also putting them at opportunity. So, you know, the two go hand in hand. When did you discover you were kind of teetering on this edge of excellence?
Honestly, I think it was really honestly last year. Because, you know, I was, you know, with the internship, I did, you know, pretty well, you know, throughout. But, you know, I was always a top performer, but I was never like the top person. And honestly, before in my life, I really had never been the top person. Because I feel like a lot of it came into buy-in, you know, with basketball, I kind of understood, like, I wasn't going to be the best basketball player on that team. And that's just physical ability, just natural inclination to it. Like, that's just me, right? But I was finally in a position where, like, I knew I could be that top person. And, you know, once I achieved that end goal, you know, being the top producer in company history, obviously beating out all the other people, which also did, you know, phenomenal businesses that year too. That's kind of when I realized like, oh, okay. Like I really think I am capable of doing some great things. Like, you know, this is a great next step. This isn't the pinnacle. This isn't the place I want to be. It's just another step on a journey, you know, of success, of career, of, you know, what I want to achieve in life. But it's kind of that first time where I'm like, okay, this is, I think I have a chance here. I think I feel pretty confident in my abilities to really achieve some great things.
Now, what are you doing to get past that? What are you doing to get past the edge of excellence into excellence?
It's kind of a harsh mindset a little bit, but in the sense of like, I don't give a shit about what I've done in the past. Like I've learned, right? But like, I can't piggyback off that stuff. Like if I have a lackluster year this year, I can't be like, well, I did really well in the last year. It's like, that's not the life to live. It's always like, you know, you don't want to, you know, live off of your previous successes. You want that to fuel your future successes. So, you know, having that mindset of, you know, you could always do better. You could always do better. It's like, okay, great. You did good. You were a top performer there. How do I be a top performer in this next role? How do I continue to grow and get better and better and better and better? So really, honestly, just kind of that engine of just keep pushing, like let's see how far we can take, you know, this, you know, streak of success. And obviously the success is not like everything's all sunshine and rainbows the whole time. It's a lot of up and downs, but, you know, becoming more and more resilient to being able to overcome not only just the high times when everything's super fun and you're at these events or, you know, your team hit a goal, or the really low times when, you know, morale's low, you're super exhausted and things aren't going well, like, you know, continuing to become more resilient. You know, a motto I always told myself like throughout the years was like, roll with the punches, right? Like you take a punch, it's okay, right? I'm going to eat it and I'm going to keep fighting and you're not going to knock me down. It doesn't matter how many times you punch me, how many times you knock me down, like I will always get back up. Like, and that sounds a little cheesy and I get that, but honestly, like it's just a, you know, resilient mindset of, you know, that mixed with just continued ambition of let's keep pushing. Like you're not done yet, right? You're 23 years old. Like you're not shit. Keep going. you know, but piggyback off the successes, you know, use that as a building block.
As you said in the beginning, constant pursuit to challenge yourself, always do better, driving to grow, driving to push. Well, since you, many of our guests never did the College Works thing, but since you did, and since a lot of our audience either did it a long time ago or is about to do it, this thing's going to come out in April sometime. So it's the sales season moving into the production season. People are now, we got to hire some, like a lot of people to work for them. They've got a lot of pressure to hit their sales goals. They've got to go grind out that marketing. Their numbers are probably, according to me, because they never are, not where they should be. You got a tip for what's your big tip for those interns out there listening right now that are going through what you and I both went through many years ago to set ourselves up for success? There's some of them are thinking, shit, I don't know if I can do this. What tips do you have for them?
Well, one, yes, you can. You are built up for this. So keep going. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. but also I think too, like, I think there is, you know, I think this is also where a relationship part comes in. And that's the other cool part about my job is I get to have a lot of really tough, deep conversations with people from all different walks of life, right? So being able to reach out to people, support systems, and especially people within the company, because if you are hitting burnout or if you are struggling with something, like the issue isn't the business, the issue is something that you're doing within the business, right? There's always solutions. And sometimes that means just venting. Sometimes that means finding the problem and solution and, you know, figuring that stuff out. So, you know, continuing to push and kind of having that optimistic mindset of things might suck right now, but it, like, I need to keep pushing so that things don't suck later, right? Like I'm in the gutter. I'm in the deep waters. How do I get out of here? Because, you know, just quitting or accepting that, like those are the worst options you could ever choose.
Like, what do you need to do differently?
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the mindset. I remember talking to my dad. He'd say these things that I still remember. Son, you never have two nickels to rub together anyway. You should do that internship. I'm like, what? And then when I just got rejected over and over 25 times, my 26th bid, I finally booked like the worst in the company. They're not saying no to you. They're saying no to what you have to offer. Like, what the hell does that mean? They're literally saying no to me and I am literally being rejected. No, they're saying no to what you have to offer. And that stuck with me for however many years, 32 years now. Stuck with me forever. Well, last question for you. I know you got to go. And by the way, I was thinking, this is like a time capsule. By the time this airs, is Nikki Haley still around? We don't know. did Biden finally short circuit and we figured out he actually was a robot? Did Trump go to jail? We don't know. Is the world still in this crazy place? We don't know. So we got a little time capsule, but that wasn't what I was going to ask you. What I was going to ask you, what sacrifice did you make that you look back and it felt like a sacrifice and you're so glad you did it?
Honestly, because, you know, I was the only district manager at the University of Kansas. And everybody else was in, you know, at Kansas State, at Mizzou, and all these different other places, and like, you know, had good support systems. But I was kind of by myself, and I really surrounded myself around a lot of people in college that didn't do internships. And they didn't really, you know, some worked hard, some had to get jobs here and there, but I kind of had that, you know, I always think of when you tell like the Stewie, why are you working so hard thing? Like that was the exact thing that I went through throughout college of, you know, my mom saying like, hey, I think you're working too much, you know, and like, I get that. Or my, you know, friends.
If we could just get rid of the mom's input during the internship year, my dad's calling me, telling me that I shouldn't mortgage my house and I'm ruining my family. Moms are telling people they're working too hard. My wife, when she worked here, her mom's calling me, telling me Jill has to quit. So keep going.
Yeah, which, you know, I love you, Mom. But at the end of the day, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. In that sense, I'm not going to listen to you, right? And I have all these friends that are like, dude, it's like the fourth night we've gone out. Like, let's go. Like, I haven't seen you come out. Like, what's wrong with you? Do you not like us? Like, all this, like, you know, honestly, social pressure, right? And honestly, that was pretty tough. You know, I like to have fun. I liked, you know, KU was an awesome environment, an awesome school, and I had a lot of good times there. But, you know, I also had to kind of get with the mentality of, you know, like earn the right to have fun, right? Because if my business is struggling and I go out and I drink on a night I probably shouldn't have, I feel like a piece of shit the next day. you know, being able to sit there and like, kind of another thing of excellence is like, I want to be successful. I want to be able to have a good time with my friends. I want to spend time with my family. And, you know, it's all of those things wrapped together. And sorry, but like a sacrifice I had to make was I couldn't go out and drink 5 nights a week and, you know, sit around and, you know, watch a full day of, you know, NFL, NFL Red Zone with all my buddies and just sit there and do nothing. And kind of just like, I had to, you know, kind of develop the balance and take the sacrifices of,
yeah,
I'm going to do literally, yeah, it's balance, right? And yeah, balance doesn't mean that I can spend all of my time doing nothing with my friends, but I can still have good relationships with my friends and still get a lot done with work and still get good grades in school and still do all this different stuff. So it is a hell of a lot easier to just not do any of that. But I'm also very glad I did it because at the end of the day, that's what the real world's like. You know, the better I can manage my time and manage my relationships, I'm so grateful I was able to learn that as a, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old, rather than when I have a wife, kids, mortgage, family, career and all this stuff to lean on. It's like, for me, it was a perfect opportunity to learn and learn these sacrifices and just how important that stuff is to learn.
So your biggest sacrifice was becoming a 25-year-old when you're 19, which maybe you're 19 right now and that sounds bad, but it's inevitable. You have to find that balance. It's all, and if you don't do it early, if you don't do it when you're early in college, you're suffering after college. So you got to, your biggest sacrifice was getting a head start. Well, Brett, thank you so much for making time out of your busy schedule. Thank you so much for coming on the Edge of Excellence and sharing your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
I hope you enjoyed that episode today on the Edge of Excellence podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on whichever platform you're listening to this. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this exact episode with them. This show exists to showcase what is possible when young leaders are willing to step out of their comfort zone and choose to excel in their lives. To learn more about our internship for young and ambitious students, www.oneinternship.com/podcast to see if it's something that makes sense for you. Once again, it is www.oneinternship.com/podcast. Let this be a reminder for you to live on the edge of excellence in your business and life. See you next time.